Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome into the show on this Friday, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Without Darren, Donick, and Chase, it's Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell behind the glass, talking all things sports here on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Middle Tennessee. Speaking of Middle Tennessee, a resident and former Major League reliever, David Weathers, is on the line with us to discuss all of the baseball news from a former player's perspective. David, always enjoy being able to talk baseball with you. How are you doing today?
Good, guys. How are y'all? Glad to be here.
Doing pretty well, pretty well. So I want to get your perspective. As someone who spent 19 years in the major leagues, what is going on between Major League Baseball and the Players Union, and kind of your thoughts on what's unfolding right in front of our eyes?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, and I'm like you guys, I'm only privy to certain information about what's going on. But, you know, from the outside looking in and going through this, my biggest concern was about 2 months ago, and I told my wife this, you know, this is not collective bargaining. You know, this is a pandemic. Totally different situation. And what bothers me about the whole deal is, you have to find common ground and get back to work. It's that simple. And it comes from the leadership from both sides. This is not a money grab for anyone. This is not the time nor the place to die on that hill. You know, and I don't, you know, my biggest concern for the players is letting this stuff leak into 2021 where we're starting to agree to things down the road. Get back on the field. Get the schedule together, get your testing together, get your players in camps right now while you're still negotiating. Get your players ready, because health is going to be a big concern for a lot of clubs because of the spring training. They were almost, you know, getting ready to break. A lot of guys were, you know, probably 3-4 innings ready. Man, they've been off for a lot of time. So, you know, injury's a big deal. So I think they should be at their sites right now training just in case this thing breaks. But my biggest disappointment is we can't, and I say we because I'm part of that fraternity, can't treat it as this is a CBA. And in some ways we have. This is not a strike. This is not a lockout. This is for the whole country. And I've told everyone, all the way from the richest owner to the guy that's in the clubhouse, the first year he's worked in the clubhouse, everybody's losing something this year. It's just a matter of how much. And so, you know, get back on the field, play baseball, and let 2021 take care of 2021 and worry about that CBA after that season. That would be my advice.
Do you feel like the owners and the players right now are aware or even care about the PR hit the sport is taking?
Well, I tell you, I think they're aware, but I don't think they care. You know, and here's why I say that. When we were on strike in 94, we were very much aware of what leverage we had, what leverage we didn't have. But the one concern we had through all of this is, guys, as long as we are locked out, because we did not go on strike, we were locked out, it's going to take forever to get baseball back to where it was. Because in 94, you know, baseball was doing very well. And, you know, I really believe it took Ripken. If we hadn't had Ripken breaking the streak, if we hadn't had McGuire and Sosa in 98, I'm not sure the game got back as fast as it did, but those were such intriguing items for baseball, you know, history being made, that it brought people on board. You know, I think what the players and owners have to understand here is we're in an economic time that says, hey, listen, I don't know about you, but myself and my family, do I miss sports? Absolutely. But it hasn't altered my life, one iota. And I think what they got to realize is, man, there's a lot of people saying, you know what, I got a lot of extra change in my pocket by not going to all these games, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And you're surviving. Do we want it? Absolutely. I'd love to watch a baseball game tonight. I would love to get my day through and sit back tonight and watch somebody play. But I don't have to have it. And I think we found out it's not really that essential. And I hate to say that as a sports fan, but back to your original point, they're doing major damage to the image of baseball, and some fans, they will never get back.
Yeah, David, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you mentioned, you know, getting the game back to where it was after 94, talking about Sosa and McGuire, and do you feel like, you know, with this pandemic and there's no sports going on, do you feel like MLB's missed a golden opportunity to try to gain some of those fans back? Because obviously they know that they're going to keep the diehards. They're going to keep the people like us who are going to continuously watch the baseball. But it was also another opportunity that they could have gotten new fans and fans who probably haven't watched baseball in a while that now all of a sudden it's the only sport in town and they would be watching it. So do you think they missed a golden opportunity there?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, and let's just be real on this whole deal with public relations. Baseball's always been bad. They've never promoted their players because you were always in, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of strikes, a lot of work stoppages and all those types of things. There's no trust whatsoever. I still don't trust the owners. They won't open their books up. Hey, let's see what's really going on. All those things are for CBA, but at the end of the day, all of us that know the owners, none of the players trust them today, and we never trusted them. And, I, you know, but listen, they're the owners. They pay the checks, so you got to do what your job tells you to do. But here's the thing that just always just irritated me as a player. We never promoted our top players. We tried, but we're nothing like the NBA, the NFL, man, and soccer's probably doing one of the best jobs of it, is, man, you have to promote your players so people get familiar. Let me ask you this. What do we have right now if baseball goes back? What storyline do we have that will match Cal Ripken, will match McGuire and Sosa? What do we have going on right now, and what could we accomplish in 60 or 70 games? It's going to be like just knocking our socks off to say, wow, I can't believe this. Other than a guy maybe hitting 400. What do we have?
The Astros sign-stealing scandal?
Yankees.
How about that one? You see what I'm saying? Like, what's going to generate the buzz? You know, you got Mike Trout, one of your main players, and he don't want to play. Now, you know, the other day he hashtagged it out, you know, when and where. Well, you know, you don't know how much of that's manufactured. So, you know, I think for me, and I'm a, you know, I have a special interest in baseball, but there's a part of me now that I'm just a fan, and my son's playing in the minor leagues, which I hate for him because, you know, this was an opportunity for him to develop, maybe pitch 100 innings this year and develop. Well, he didn't get that, but, you know, that's he's been taught in his life that everything don't work out the way you want. You just got to keep working. But at the end of the day, man, these guys, as a fan, I'm sitting there going, man, this really turns my stomach to the sport. I don't want to see this. I don't want to watch guys arguing over $3-5 billion. I mean, it's absurd. You know what? Get the thing done and go play. But I will say this, and I'll probably get ridiculed for this, but inside the fraternity of baseball. But before this started, I told my wife, I said, we have one of the worst commissioners in baseball because he doesn't care about the game. He is concerned about making his mark on the game, not the game itself. Trying to, you know, three-hitter minimum, a pitch clock, working in the minor leagues on getting electronic umpires, working where you can't pick off unless you step off the rubber. Things that's been in baseball for hundreds of years, and it's a great game. All right, so that's number one. And number two, then we go to Tony Clark, who's a really good friend of mine. We played a couple of years together. You know, we don't have the experience with negotiating these things. So you got two things that are a bad combo. One, you got the commissioner who is 100% owners, so it's two on one, owners and commissioner against the players. Then on top of that, you got the lack of experience, and the owners know that, and they've already taken advantage of several things. So I told my wife about 2 months ago, I said, I got a bad feeling about this. And on top of that, the players really have to understand, even though he is the union chief, he works for you. You have to have the leadership of the players that we had with Kevin Brown, with Terry Pendleton, with Roger Clemens. These guys stood in the gap and argued for us, even with our own, with Donald Fear, to make sure, listen, man, we can't forget what we're doing here is playing baseball. And I just don't see that happening.
We're talking to former Major League pitcher David Weathers on the line with us. And I'm glad that you mentioned early in that the owners, because when these failed proposals are happening, we're pointing the finger at Rob Manfred, and just, you know, obviously you should get that, Tony Clark as well, and the players, but somehow, some way, we don't hear from the owners, obviously, but we don't really point the fingers at them, and they could also be the ones that are holding this whole thing up.
All right, well, let me ask you this, and you really think about this, and this was the big signal I got the other day. I'm like, this guy's not in control like he says he is. Manfred goes unequivocally, 100%, we will have baseball.
Right.
No doubt. All right? Then a week later, he retracts that, right?
Right.
Well, who made him retract that? It wasn't the players.
It was the owners.
It worked for the players. The owners, absolutely. The owners are 100% in control of the commissioner. They pay him. And pay him handsomely to ruin our game. And listen, I'm anybody that knows me, I don't like mixing words, and I just feel like this guy is absolutely devastating our game. Once this is settled, we have to have a change in baseball on the commissioner level. He is absolutely, Bud Selig made his mark. He made his mark by expanding the playoffs, which everybody has loved. You know, interleague, we love it. We're probably going to see a DH now, which is fine. That's not, to me, that's not a big deal. That helps the players out. But we got to figure out that between ownership, and we'll take a local guy, Mookie Betts, who I love watching play, who's from the Nashville metro area. You know, if the Red Sox love Mookie Betts and rewarded him for what he has done, would he still be going the year to year? No. You know, they don't understand that part of the game yet. Instead of taking care of Mookie Betts and making sure he stays a Red Sox, you know, they traded him, right? They never took care of Mookie like they should have. And so you look at those things, and that's just a byproduct of when you asked me earlier, did they even really feel and understand the PR hit we're taking? They do, and they don't. And so, you know, I really worry about our game moving forward. Even if we get on the field, you see little subtle things that go, man, this is not the game that we all grew up to love.
David Weathers is on the line with us. David, you mentioned earlier the fact that Major League Baseball does not do a good enough job of promoting its players. And, you know, every month there's a Sunday night baseball game between the Yankees and Red Sox, and Cardinals and Cubs are always featured. But you don't see Mike Trout. You don't see them showcase Mookie Betts to the extent that they should. You know, if Mookie Betts is from Nashville, and if he walked down Broadway, I truly wonder how many people would be able to pick him out of a crowd. Same with Mike Trout. So I guess where I'm getting at is, do you feel like the distrust between the owners and the players has anything to do with the fact that they cannot promote their players the way they should?
Well, yes, and here's why. And guys, tell me if you guys disagree with this, I'm good with that. But here's the problem. I'm tired of watching the Yankees every other Sunday night.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm tired of watching the Dodgers every other Sunday night. Hey, show me the Royals. Show me the teams that have the great players. Give those guys an opportunity. Like you said, Mike Trout. Don't do the L.A. Angels and the Dodgers. How about we watch the Angels in Kansas City? How about we watch, listen, when I grew up, every Saturday, NBC was American League and ABC was National League. That's why I'm a National League guy. I grew up watching the National League. Those are the games I chose to watch. And guys, if I'm 50 years old, Monday Night Baseball was as big as Monday Night Football. You know, all my buddies, after a Little League game or something, we come home, we watch Monday Night Baseball. But they went to every different place and watched these games. And then all of a sudden we get to ESPN and Sunday Night Baseball, and all it is the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, and, you know, now they started showing the Astros a little bit. But, you know, I get tired of watching those games. And like you said, and you couldn't have said it any better, Mike Trout should be a household name everywhere in the United States. He is the best player in the game right now, or one of the top three. You know, you got the kids in Houston that are awesome. Nobody talks about these guys except one night a year on the All-Star game. These guys should be promoted.
Absolutely. We're talking to David Weathers. And as a former player, how would you feel about a 60-70 game season?
I would be very disappointed. You know, we're grown to play 162, you know. And let me ask you this. There's no reason we shouldn't be playing baseball by July the 4th. This thing should have been settled, and we should have started, my opinion, we should have started the 1st of July, and you play the rest of the schedule out to the end of September, and then you start the postseason in October. I don't know how many games that would entail, but I do know this. You're playing all of July, all of August, and all of September. You could get 80 games in plus. And then I think, you know, I don't know, man. I don't like a 60-yard sprint. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even get their legs under them until 60 games. So I don't know. I think they're looking at it and you know, they're saving money. But let me ask you guys this. Miami's never had fans, correct? But yet they go out and pay Stanton whatever they paid him. They sold their team for $1 billion, them and Tampa Bay. It ain't going to be no different for them when they play a baseball game. There's no one there anyway. Yeah, that's why I wish one of those franchises would find Nashville. I think Nashville would support it greatly.
Very good point there, David. I want to leave you with this. So last week we had Long Gone Summer with the McGuire-Sosa home run chase, the ESPN documentary. And in looking back and doing some research on that, I found a Wikipedia page that went through all the different home runs that Sosa and McGuire hit in a timeline of, you know, when McGuire had 60, this is how many Sosa had. And I just want to congratulate you because I did not see the name David Weathers mentioned as a pitcher that gave up a home run to McGuire or Sosa that summer.
Yeah, neither one of them. And I was with Milwaukee, and so we were in their division. We faced those guys all the time. Yeah, but I tell you what, they both got me in April. The next year, they got me good. I will tell you this. As all the things, and I'm telling you, man, we have been able to witness some of the greatest things in baseball history, from Ripken to all the guys that have hit 600-plus home runs to McGuire breaking the record, and then here comes Barry Bonds breaking the record, and Barry breaks all the home. We've seen so much history, but I will tell you this. That was some of the most exciting times I've ever been a part of in baseball. You would go out and we would play St. Louis or Chicago batting practice at Milwaukee. The stadium would be three-quarters, if not 80% full, to watch McGuire and Sosa take batting practice. You just felt it. And the second part of that is I'll never forget the baseballs they threw out to us. I felt like they were throwing me a cue ball. And it had those, what do you call them, that signified that authenticate the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It had the stamp on it. And I'll never forget, I looked at Frank Cooley. I said, are you kidding me with this? He said, hey, just keep it down, kid. It'll go a long way. I'm like, yeah, that was the umpire. And so, you know, it was an exciting, exciting time. And that's the reason I said, I don't know what we have going on in the game today that can match those things.
Because of all that, do you feel like Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
You know, I do, and that's very, you know, it's not a popular opinion, but here's my deal, especially, I'm more McGuire, Bonds first, then McGuire. The one that bothers me with Sammy is he never hit a whole lot of home runs until he just blew up and looked totally different. And then when they started testing again, he went back to 14 and 15 home runs again. McGuire was skinny as a beanpole and hit 49 his rookie year. The guy has pop. He's going to hit 600, 700 home runs. Whatever he hit, he was going to hit regardless. Bonds, when I played him in the early 90s, the best player I've ever played against. I mean, I love Ken Griffey Jr. He was my teammate for 5 years. One of the greatest guys that I've been around. All natural, hit 600 home runs. But Bonds was he was just unreal to play against, even when he was young. He's the best player. I think he's one of the top two players to ever strap on the uniform.
Great.
So I'm a Bonds fan.
Great stuff, David Weathers.
As far as on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. David Weathers has been our guest, former Major League reliever. David, thank you so much for making time to join us today. Awesome stuff, and hopefully we're talking about baseball being on the diamond sooner rather than later.
Thanks for having me, guys. I hope I didn't upset too many people.
No worries at all. David Weathers, former Major League Baseball reliever. A lot of good stuff there. A lot of opinions towards the owners and the history between the owners and the players.
A lot. And justified. Because, and this is what I use Adam Silver as an example. He has a relationship with the NBA players. That's why they were able to figure this thing out. Michelle Roberts knows what she's doing when it comes to getting these players and the league together to figure out a plan. And that's why the NBA is back. And that's why they got a plan. That's why they have dates. That's why they have a location. It's because the players trust Adam Silver. You don't see the same thing with them in Major League Baseball. You don't see the same thing with Rob Manfred. And some half of the time, you don't see the same thing with Roger Goodell either, of players trusting him. And that's all the players want. They want to know that the guy in charge, they can trust. And they can, you know, they know they're not getting shifted by, you know, you're just taking care of the owners. And so that's what Rob Manfred's doing. And David Weather was right. He's sticking up for the owners. And obviously, that's not sitting well with the players. And that's why we don't have baseball.
Coming up next, Marquise and I are going to have some fun. Our NHL and NBA predictions, if the return to play started tomorrow and not 5 weeks from now, what would our predictions be for both the NHL and the NBA? That's all coming up next here on Darren, Donick, nor Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.